So the last couple of days, we've been looking in the book of Luke, and I laugh a little bit because I thought this was going to be 2 days, and here we are on day number four, but we'll wrap it up today. We're talking in Luke chapter 2 about the Good Samaritan. So this, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10 about the Good Samaritan, and it starts in verse number 25 of Luke chapter 10. And we all know the story of the Good Samaritan. It's one of the ubiquitous stories around the world. People know this story. You say Good Samaritan, people understand what you're talking about because this story is so well known. And it's a parable that Jesus gave in response to a man who was a keeper of the law or one who dealt with the law, not in the sense of a lawyer today that we'd think of a lawyer who is dealing with the laws of our country. Or the laws of a culture, but this is one who's dealing with the law of God. So this is one who knows and is supposed to know and understand and keep the law and teach the law. So he's one who knows the word of God is what it comes down to. And he challenges Jesus. And the question that he challenges Jesus with is, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, knowing that as a lawyer, so already Jesus has that, is using not just the beyond the flesh. He's using that Holy Spirit knowledge to know who this man is, and he is a man of the law. And so he says, well, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And so he's asking him, what does the law say? How do you read the law? How are you reading it? Here's one of the great things. Jesus wants us to read the Word of God. He expects us to be in the Word of God, and he knows that so that we know the Word of God. But he asks you and I the same question he's asking this man. What is your reading of it? What is your reading of the Word of God? Jesus wants to know. This should be an ongoing conversation that we have. A lot of times when we're getting ready for, or we decide to spend time in the Word of God, if today the time that you spend in the Word of God is when you get up in the morning, it's easy for us to say, here's my 10 minutes in the Word of God. We read it, close it, and then we go about our day. Now, it's good that you're in the Word of God, but the reality is, if that's all that you do with the Word of God that you read, the reality is probably within about an hour, if somebody would ask you, what was it you read in the Word of God? You'd be struggling to think, where was I reading? What was it? I mean, I've done that myself. If you don't think about the Word of God, if you remove those thoughts from your mind and just go on with life and with the day, you easily forget what you even read. And if you forgot what you read, I guarantee you, you're not learning more and more about it. Jesus asked the question of this man of the law. He said, what is your reading of it? Jesus wants this to be a conversation. Here's where the word really comes to life. And here's where a lot of the insights. And I've said before, I firmly believe that every single person who reads the word of God, if you read it, he will reveal himself to you. And every single person can understand the word of God. You don't have to have gone to Bible college. You don't have to have gone to seminary. If you read the Word of God, the reason that we have the Word of God is so that Jesus can reveal himself to us, so that we know him, and that we can know the deeper truths of him. We can know the deeper truths in this Word, that the knowledge that he has for us is not hidden from us as believers, but it is shared with us, and he wants us to know it and to understand it. And so I firmly believe that every single person, and if your experience has been the opposite, and you would say, well, you know, I've read the Word, but I just never really understand it. Okay, forget yesterday, forget the past, that's in the past, forget that. Set that aside and expect that when you read the Word of God, the next time you open it up, that expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And before you open the Word, just say a quick prayer and just thank him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me, giving me insights, for speaking to me through this Word. And then read the Word with that expectation and watch what he shows you. But then remember, Jesus said to this man of the law, what is your reading of it? See, part of this is a discussion that goes on. Some of the greatest insights that he's given me in the Word of God come from maybe 5-10 minutes after I've read the Word of God as I'm thinking about it. And I'm mulling it over. And sometimes I even ask the question, okay, Jesus, I don't understand this. I know that there's something there, but I don't understand it. Show me what this is. And it's in the course of that conversation. It's in the course of that discussion. It's talking with Jesus about it, that he gives me insights, or all of a sudden I start to understand something, or I begin the process of understanding it, and he'll show me more. This is why we're told to meditate on the Word. This is what meditation is. It's thinking about it. It's mulling it over in your mind and listening to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you as you mull it over. Jesus wants us to spend time in the Word. And he wants us to talk to him about it. As he said to this man, what is your reading of it? He's saying to you, so what did you read? When you read that, what did that say to you? And then as you respond and as you answer, he's going to say, he's going to develop that and show you even more. This is the way the reading of the Bible should, can, and should take place. So as we go a little bit further, the man answered and said, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he's identifying the two things that Jesus also identifies. Here's the things you need to do. Here's the two things you must do. All of the law is condensed down to these two things, and Jesus says this himself. So this man got it right. Jesus said you love God above all else, and you love your neighbor as yourself. All the law is kept in those two truths. And this man correctly identified it. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Well, the man then wanted to justify himself because he realizes he has not come. He realizes, I answered correctly, but I know that I have not lived to the level of that answer I just gave. I realize I gave a correct answer, but I haven't lived at that place. And so to justify himself, he says, yeah, but really, Jesus, who is my neighbor? And this is when Jesus begins the parable that we know of as the Good Samaritan. And where I left off yesterday, we all know the story of the Good Samaritan. And this is the story of the man who was coming down on his way to Jericho, and he was overtaken by thieves who stripped him, beat him, left him for dead. And he's laying there dying, and a priest happened to chance down the road, saw him, passed on the other side. Then a Levite did the same thing, passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, and as we saw 2 days ago or yesterday, you know, the Samaritans are the ones who are at odds with the Jews. So the Samaritan, and the man is coming from Jerusalem. If he's coming from Jerusalem, likely we know that he's a Jew. So the Samaritan and the Jew, these would be adversaries. So it is not the natural flow of things. It's not the natural response for a Samaritan who dislikes the Jews. It's not the natural response for a Samaritan to reach out to a Jew and help a Jew. It goes against the innate, built-in, not just hostilities, but also prejudices that were between the Jews and the Samaritans. In fact, if you go back just a little bit further here in Luke, if you go backwards a little bit, you see that this is part of the reason that the disciples were angry at the Samaritans. And when you read this in the Gospels, you see that when Jesus and the disciples were passing through Samaria, the Samaritans rejected Jesus and would not let Jesus and the disciples stay there, because they were Jews and because they were on their way to Jerusalem. And so out of animosity, because of this innate prejudice that the Samaritans had against the Jews and the Jews had against the Samaritans, that when in Samaria, the Samaritans realized they were going to Jerusalem and they would not let Jesus and the disciples stay there or sleep there. They rejected them. And out of angry response from the disciples went back to the Old Testament and realized that Elijah had called down fire to destroy companies of men who came to defy God. And so they said to Jesus, shall we call down fire from God? Because the Samaritans had rejected Jesus. And Jesus, of course, said that was the old way. Here's the new way. But it gives you an idea that the Samaritans and the Jews do not get along well. They don't play well together. They don't like each other. This is out of the ordinary. This goes beyond prejudice. There's a built-in prejudice between Samaritans and Jews. The Jewish priest and the Jewish Levite walked on the other side of the man who had been robbed and beaten and was laying dying. But it is the Samaritan, it's his enemy, that sees him and has compassion upon him. And the Samaritan then binds his wounds, and the Samaritan puts him on his animal and brings him to an inn. It's the Samaritan who pays for him to be at the inn, and he pays for the innkeeper to take care of the man and says, whatever the expenses are beyond this, I will pay them when I return. So the Samaritan, who is the natural enemy of this Jewish person, is the one who took care of him. And Jesus was demonstrating in answer to the lawyer's question, well, who is my neighbor? And what we said yesterday was, in your life, this is the answer to the question for you and I. And I hope you were thinking about this and watching this yesterday. And it's a good thing that we can be reminded of this again today, remember it today so that we can try to be aware of it. Because what Jesus was saying is, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is not just your family. It's not just the people who live next door to you. It's not the people that you like. It's not just the people that you get along with. Your neighbor is this. Your neighbor is the person who comes across your path. Because you see, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, they all came down a path. They all came across a path. They were walking down a path that led them to this Jewish man who had been robbed and beaten and was laying dying or near death. In your life, there's going to be people. In your life, there's going to be people in your path today. It's 9:17 in the morning. You've got the entire day in front of you. There's going to be people that come across your path today, people that you've not even planned on, people you don't even know. But God's going to bring them across your path. And in the same way that for the Samaritan, for the priest, and for the Jew, who was their neighbor? Their neighbor was that man. For the Samaritan, even though that man was his enemy, it's the one that God brought across his path that day. And so the Jewish person was his neighbor. And this is what Jesus is saying to the lawyer, and the same thing is true for us today. The people that God brings across your path today, even if you think them to be your natural enemies, they're not your enemies. They are your neighbors. If God brings them across your path, if they come across your path today, you are supposed to minister to them. You're supposed to love them in the love of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to do what you can. This Samaritan made great sacrifices on behalf of a man he did not know, and on behalf of a man who was a natural adversary of his because of the prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. When this lawyer asked the question, who's my neighbor, it's the same question that we're subconsciously asking ourselves. Well, who am I supposed to minister to today? You know, it's easy for us to minister to the people, or it's easy for us to give love to the people that love us and treat us well. But who is it that God's going to bring across your path today? And watch. Have your eyes open. Be looking for this. Who is it that God brings across your path today? If you see somebody in need, help them. If you see someone that needs encouragement, encourage them. If you see someone that needs a word of God, give them the word of God. If you see someone that has fallen down, and I don't just mean physically, but I mean in some area of their life, they are knocked down by life, do what you can to help them back up. Make sacrifices today. Be looking, because you'll have opportunities to make sacrifices for others, for those that God has brought across your path. This is what God's called us to do. And I just touched on this yesterday, and I really won't get to spend a lot of time on it, but I just want you to see this. It said a certain man, when Jesus begins the parable, he's very specific, saying that this certain man came from Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. I said yesterday that when we talk about going down geographically, we talk about going, well, we're heading south. If we're going down from Toledo, if we're going down, we would say, well, I'm going down to Lima because it's south. We would say that we're going up to Detroit because it's north. This is how we say things. And we think that's, you know, kind of, we would think the same way. But Jesus is saying something different here, because Jerusalem, this is what he says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, he's not saying that this man went south from Jerusalem to Jericho, because Jericho is actually north of Jerusalem. So when Jesus is saying that this man came down from Jerusalem, this man was going from the spiritual center, was going from the focus, the place where the focus was on God, and he was going down to Jericho, because Jericho had become, well, it once had been a place that represented the promises of God, because it was the first place that they entered into the promised land. It was the first possession. It represented it was the first of all the possessions that God had established for them. That's what it had been, but now it had become, and I touched on this yesterday, no time today, it had become, at the time of Jesus, it had become a town, a village that was not prosperous. It was in hard times. It was really summarized by this blind Bartimaeus this blind man that Jesus came to heal on his way to Jerusalem in the last days of his life. Jericho had been the land that represented the very beginning of the promises of God, but it had now become a land that was blind, just like this man that Jesus healed. It was now a city or town, a village that was blind to the promises of God. And so when Jesus is given this parable and saying the man came down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he's saying this man has come down from the heights, from being able to see God and the promises of God. He's come down. He's on his way down to Jericho, the place that it now represents the blindness to the things of God. There's going to be people on your path today that have the truth, and maybe there's even believers that know the truth of Jesus Christ, but you're going to come across people in your path today that have ventured away from the things of God, from the promises of God, and they are now in the place of Jericho. They're on their way to Jericho, which is the place of being blind to the promises. And one of the things that we are called to do is to help them to see, to bring back and restore their vision, their sight, to restore to them the sight and the vision of the promises of Jesus Christ for them. Let me say that again. You're going to have people in your path today. They're on their way from Jerusalem, from the being able to see and understand and know the promises of Jesus Christ. And they're in that area. They're heading right towards Jericho, the place of blindness to the promises of Jesus Christ. You're going to come across these people today. Our job is to help them restore their sight, to see the promises of Jesus Christ. You're going to come across that person who's been beat down and hurt by life, damaged by life, and they're not seeing the promises of Jesus Christ. Our job is to help them see the promises of Jesus Christ in the Word. It's a great story, and there's so many levels of truth there in that parable. That's Luke chapter 10. Read that yourself today and see what the Holy Spirit shows you.